Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. It's so good to see you all this evening. So good to have you all here this evening. You know, every now and then I get this, you know, this sort of unction in my spirit that I need to speak a little bit about prophecy. And because this church is, you know, we have... This church was birthed out of a ministry that is very prophetic. So we come from Little Falls Christian Center. That's where I got saved and raised up. And my pastor is extremely prophetic. And so when you're with someone and you get trained up with someone who has that type of anointing, that anointing obviously will rub off on you. Amen. So this is a very prophetic house. Amen. And so, you know, I feel, you know, that it's just the right time for me to deliver a message about personal prophecy specifically this evening, because many of us, there's two kind of things I want to talk about this evening. The one is when you have an urge to give a personal prophecy to someone. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but I also want to specifically talk to people who receive a prophecy from somebody. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Amen. So we're going to take a look this evening at, you know, some very important keys, I believe, and you should really remember this tonight. And I want to talk a little bit also about just order in the service, and you know how, you know, really I need you to come to E1. If you've never been to E1, it's so important that you come, guys, because in E1 we break it down, we take a look at the movement of the Spirit within the church and how God operates in the church. And you know, it's so important. It's so important. It's so important. Amen. You know, I had an interview with Brad Huddleston last week. We sat in my office while the service just began, and we did like this little podcast thing. And, you know, I'll never forget when I moved to the US, which is quite a long time ago, how we really struggled, my wife and I, to find a church like the one I came from. You know, now I come from pretty radical church. Amen. My pastor's like 70 years old, and the man is like on fire for God. Amen. And he's, you know, he's such a great example. And, you know, so I kind of was like, I'm sure all the churches are like that, because that's the church that I went to and sort of grew up in. And that's what I knew. That's all I knew. So when I started looking around and going to visit churches, I was like really surprised that it wasn't like that. It was different. I'm not saying it was bad, but it was different. Is that okay? I don't want to criticize anybody. Is that okay? So it was very different to what I was used to. And as the years went by, you know, guys know the story, and we ended up planting the church here after God spoke to me. And I'll talk a little bit about that tonight as well, because it has to do with hearing from God. Is that okay? So, you know, amen. Let's get into it. Okay. So with the prophetic, what you need to understand is that there are three realms of the prophetic that we generally will move in the church. Now, the prophetic has many dimensions, and there's so much I can talk about this. I've actually done a two-part series of supernatural discipleship courses on them. You can probably pick those up. I'm sure you can get them online if you want to learn a little bit more about it. But there's three realms of the prophetic that we really talk about the most, which is the first realm, which every single one of us has the ability to tap into, which is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Is that okay? The Holy Spirit is a prophetic spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we all have the ability to be a prophetic people. The Holy Spirit is always speaking and moving and breathing. The Holy Spirit doesn't just live in now. The Holy Spirit lives outside of time. The Holy Spirit is always looking to the future. The Holy Spirit sees you in the future and wants to introduce you to yourself in the future. Is that okay? So all the time, the Holy Spirit is trying to stir you up, trying to show you things, trying to speak to you. That's the prophetic spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's the first level of the prophetic. You don't have to be a guru to operate in that level. Is that okay? So every one of us has that ability. If you don't, something's wrong. I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy. I know, I agree with you. We're not talking about the gift of prophecy. That's the second realm of the prophetic. But the reality is that you have the ability to at least hear from God for yourself, the prophetic spirit. Now, with the gift of prophecy, which is the second realm of the prophetic, which is in Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, where we see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and one of those gifts is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy, according to the book of Corinthians, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, this is a different realm of the prophetic, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts as He so desires to people to operate within those gifts. Is that okay, guys? So, we see the second realm of the prophetic being the gift of prophecy. Many people that want to operate with the gift of prophecy, or have the gift of prophecy, or feel they have the gift of prophecy, oftentimes operate outside of exhortation, edification, and comfort. I will not allow you to prophesy over me if you don't operate in that realm. Is that okay? So generally, when someone comes to you and says to you, well, you know, the Lord says to you that next week, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to end up in a bad situation, and they come to you with doom and gloom, tell them to get lost. Because it's not edification. It's not exhortation. It's not comfort. The gift of prophecy does not operate like that. Now, the third realm of the prophetic that we kind of talk about is the office of the prophet according to Ephesians 4:11. This is a higher realm of prophecy. And the authority normally in this realm is a little bit higher, because prophets have been given a mandate to go out and to speak the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, you must understand that it is your responsibility when someone gives you a word in that realm that you check that that person has the fruit that goes with it. Not everyone is a prophet who can prophesy. Well, you know, I'm a prophet. Says who? You say you're a prophet, or someone said you're a prophet. Who are they? And what fruit do they have? Is that okay? Okay. Not everyone who prophesies is a prophet. I do not claim to be a prophet. I can prophesy. I have operate often with the gift of prophecy. I know my future and my destiny, but I will not stand here and say to you, I'm a prophet. Is that okay? And I can prophesy. Yes. Amen. I can. By the grace of God, I can. But I will not stand here and say, I'm a prophet, until God comes to me and it's confirmed by the word of the Lord, or He comes to me in a vision or a dream and He says to me, now you step into the office of the prophet. Is that okay? I will not. Amen. Okay. Okay. So, the problem with the church today is that we want to hear from God from everybody else. And so we become like a prophecy radar. Like beep, 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 who's going to give me a word? And the reality is, we should take responsibility from hearing from God for ourselves. Because how can you want to prophesy over others if you can't hear from God for yourself? In the same way, well, you know, I need you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for me, and I need everyone to pray for me. Listen, pray for yourself. If I rely on your prayers for this church, I'm in trouble. I need to pray for this church. I need to pray for my life. Listen, I want to have you all pray for me. Hallelujah. Okay, but I cannot rely on your prayers. I need to wage a good warfare in my own life. Is that okay? So you have to do the same in your own life. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to seek the voice of the Lord. And when you become someone who goes around just wanting to hear a word from everybody and want confirmation, listen, when God speaks, He only needs to speak once. Oh, Pastor, I need confirmation. Listen, if you don't have peace, it's not from God, man. Well, you know, I'll just put it on the shelf. Okay. Listen, if a word comes to me, if someone gives me a word, it's either God or it isn't. Amen. Are you guys okay? Okay. I still love you. Amen. So it's critical for us as believers to hear from God for ourselves. Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, we now all have the potential and the opportunity to hear from God for ourselves. Now, it's true, we can hear and get a word from someone out there, someone, a person that you know, or a personal prophecy can come from someone who operates with the gift of prophecy, or even from a prophet. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4, verse number 14. Amen. First Timothy 4:14. Okay. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourselves. Everybody say that. Say, take heed to myself. And to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It's very powerful, and there's absolutely no doubt that God can speak to you through someone else, through a prophet, or through someone who's operating with the gift of prophecy, or even, I would say, even with the prophetic spirit, just some form of edification. But as soon as edification comes in, generally we're now stepping into the realm of operating with the gift of prophecy. So we see that, and we see a very powerful principle here that Timothy is busy getting a prophecy. His hands have been laid on him, and we see how he's, you know, Paul encourages him to take that word and to speak that word and to fight with that word. So prophecy is very, very powerful, but you've got to be so careful. You've got to be so careful that you don't want to substitute hearing God's voice from yourself, from everybody else. And because we're a prophetic church, I need to warn you of this. I love the prophetic more than you can ever know. From the day I got saved, I said to the Lord, please, Lord, out of all the gifts, I desire the gift of prophecy more than anything. I desire to prophesy the word of the Lord, because I've seen the transformation that the word of the Lord can do in somebody's life. One word from God can really change a person's life forever. And I've seen it. I've seen the power of it. I love it. But that should never take away from you praying, you seeking God, and you fasting and seeking Him and wanting to hear His voice and wanting to develop yourself. Here's the danger. Why am I so firm about this? Because what happens is, when you go running around from place to place, to want to get a word, what ends up happening is you go to someone who's operating with a spirit that isn't from God, and then you become defiled. What you don't realize is that so often when someone gives you a word and it's not the Spirit of God, guess what? It is divination. It is the imitation. Uh-oh. So you need to always check the fruit of the person giving you a word. Don't go somewhere and just start getting words from people and you've got no clue who they are. It's your responsibility to know. Well, you know, this one's coming into town and we're going to go there and we're going to, and you know, he's a prophet and da-da-da-da. You need to know the fruit. You need to know the fruit of the prophet to make sure that he is of God. That the fruit is on the tree in the ministry. Is that okay? Listen, if I tell you this because I love you, I would just say, let's all prophesy. So many Christians have been defiled by divination. And I've seen it time and time again. They come and stand in front of me, and I see the spirit of divination sitting on them. And it's because they've allowed someone to prophesy falsely over them. They took that word into their heart that defiled them. Yeah. And generally what happens is they become sick. And then I have to prophesy against that spirit and break the power of that spirit that's now operating in this person's life because of defilement that's come. I'm not making this up. It's happened several times here in this church. You don't know, but I know. Amen. It's a little heavy tonight. Amen. Don't worry, it'll lighten up in about next week. Amen. All right. When a person prophesies over you or you get revelation, you must discern whose voice you are hearing with your own life, and also when someone speaks over you, you need to discern whose voice it is. Is the word coming from God? Is it coming from the person's imagination? Or is it the voice of Satan? There's a gift called the discerning of spirits. Everybody begin to pray for that gift. Let me explain to you why. Because what I've just said to you describes the operation of that gift in such a powerful way. It's not the gift of discernment. Well, I have the gift of discernment. There is no such thing. It's the gift of discerning of spirits. Which means, is it the Spirit of God? Is it the spirit of the person? Or is it the spirit of a demon that is busy operating? And you need to know what is speaking to you. What is being used? What is this person? What spirit is this person operating with? God's spirit, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of the man, or a spirit, a demon spirit? Now, when you go to a fortune teller, it is a demon spirit that is operating. I can get very technical, and some of them that actually do have a little bit of power are operating with a familiar spirit. Therefore, they can see things. Why? Because the familiar spirit is familiar with you. Some of the heaviest deliverances I've had to do have been on people who have a relationship with their familiar spirit or spirit guide. And they think it's God's voice. And they have this relationship and they talk to the spirit. It's heavy in Vero Beach. Because I had a dream last week. God spoke to me in a dream. I was driving home from the building one night. And I had a dream. I actually said to the Lord on the way home, I said, Lord, please speak to me in a dream. Now, I'm just like you. That says, oh, Lord, please let him prophesy over me. I can't tell you how many times I've asked God for a dream and I don't get one. Amen. But he gave me one that night. And it happened just before I wake up. It always happens like that. And it's completely different to any normal dream because the colors are so vivid. And even when I have a dream, I might be dreaming something and then God interrupts my dream by coming into my dream and changing everything. And that's when I know it's from God. And he said some stuff to me. I can't share it with you right now. I will, but not yet. But all I can tell you is in the dream, God warned me because of that force of divination. Is that okay? I will not allow this church to be defiled by divination. I will not allow it. Is that okay? Okay. Listen. Amen. Okay. Only because I care. Is that okay? I just really do care. Amen. I know what God wants to do and how he wants to raise you up. But you've got to be so careful because people come. And it had nothing to do. There was no one in the church. This had nothing to do with anybody in the church. It was someone outside the church operating. Is that okay? Okay. So that's why I'm a little heavy this evening. Okay. Every Sunday night is different. Most Sunday nights I'm really nice. I was so nice this morning. Okay. But this evening we have to get into this. Now, when someone gives you a prophecy and you've now determined what, you know, you feel that this is, you know, you feel the prophecy out, you need to judge that prophecy. Once you've discerned the prophecy, you need to judge it. You don't need confirmation after confirmation about a prophecy. When it comes to you, you should be able to tell whether this is God or whether it isn't. Listen, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, God does not give you unrest. He gives you peace. When the word of the Lord comes to you, you will have peace. If you're questioning stuff that's been going on in your life, if God has spoken to you about something, and then that's why you have unrest, that's different. But when the Lord speaks to you, most of the time, 90% of the time, 99% of the time, you will immediately feel peace unless something needs to change in your life drastically. Amen? Obviously, if you're in sin and the prophet calls out your sins and everything and you're bad and you're going to hell, then you won't feel peace. Amen? But generally, that won't happen. Okay? I've never seen that happen. Maybe once. Okay. Not with me. Amen? It's Pastor Mark. He does stuff like that. Amen. I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just trying to lighten the air up because some of you are a little bit upset. It's okay. Now, you can always go to someone who you know operates in the prophetic and ask them their opinion in the word, because that's scriptural. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, the prophets can judge the prophecy. So if you're unsure, if you're still young in your discernment, you don't feel you're quite there yet, you're not 100% sure, you can go to someone who you trust, who you can see that there's fruit on the tree, and go and ask them to have a look and listen to your prophecy or to judge the prophecy. You can do that. Amen? But also be careful who you go to. Because make sure that that person is really operating with prophecy, specifically when it's a prophecy that comes that seriously, this is like life altering. And I've heard and seen many prophecies, I've heard and seen many times in the prophetic how prophecies will be released that really are life altering. Destiny is prophesied, stuff like that. So once the word is released, it is your responsibility. I want to say this again. It is your responsibility to judge that prophecy. It's no one else's responsibility, but you can go and ask someone for advice or just to confirm. If you feel a little unsure, you can do that. But the prophecy now becomes your responsibility, not the person who gave you the word. You judge the prophecy by its accuracy. You judge the prophet by his fruit. I'm going to say that again. You judge the prophecy by its accuracy. You judge the prophet by its fruit. Listen, prophets make mistakes. Okay, they do. They make mistakes. They're not perfect. So therefore, when the prophecy comes to you, you must judge that word. Be careful not to just judge the person. Judge the word. Is the word from God or is the word not from God? If the word's not from God, just get rid of it. Just cancel it. I've canceled so many times. People come to me with all kinds of things and they want to tell me this and they want to tell me that and God's going to do this and God said that and I'm listening. I cancel that. I cancel that. I cancel that. Hallelujah. Amen. And I smile. Amen. Especially when they come up to me. Oh, you know, Pastor Alex, you better be careful, you know. Now, why did God warn you and not me? You know, you want to tell me I must be careful about what's going to happen because God told you I'm the leader of the church. Why didn't he tell me? He told Moses, and Moses was leading the people out of Israel, right? Okay. There are people that I will definitely allow to speak into my life, of course. I'm always open. I always want to hear from people who I trust, who I see fruit in their lives. I will definitely want to hear from them. One other thing you need to recognize, and this is very important, there are certain people, there are certain types of people that you really need to be very, very careful of when it comes to the prophetic. Number one, never ever allow someone to prophesy over you who has no accountability. I call them rogue prophets. They go around. Rogue prophets or parking lot prophets. They're in the parking lot or they're in the church waiting to see who they can pounce on. Pounce on. Is that the word? Pounce on. No. Where's the fruit? Where's the accountability? Amen. We are accountable here. Every prophecy that goes out is recorded. My leadership keeps me in check. And they do. Amen. And that's the way it's supposed to be. When some guy rocks up in town, you need to know where he comes from. Amen. Who is he accountable to? Before you just let him speak into your life. It's a serious thing. Amen. Amen. Okay. When someone has no accountability, I will not allow them to prophesy over me. If someone comes with words of death or negativity about my church, the people in my church, my family, myself, I don't even listen. If someone comes with a critical spirit or has a critical spirit, I will never listen to that person. Well, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament were very critical about what was going on. Yes, but they went to the people themselves. When a prophet had a problem with a king, he went to the king and he gave him the word of the Lord. He didn't go on Facebook and plaster it all over Facebook and criticize every single pastor and every single person. If someone has a critical spirit, they will not speak into my life. Amen. If you have a problem, if someone has a problem in the body of Christ, they should go to that person and address the issue directly with them and give them the word of the Lord if the Lord has spoken to them. Not tell everyone how bad everybody is. God doesn't operate that way. Amen? Okay. Remember what I'm about to tell you now. That a prophecy will never contradict the word of God. So for example, if somebody gives you a word and they come to you and they say to you, oh, pastor, you know, I got a word and the word was that I should leave my husband. Are you kidding me? The Bible does not contradict itself. Was there adultery in your relationship? Well, you know, no, but my husband's not spiritual and he's holding me back. So now I must divorce him. That's what the Lord said. No, the Lord didn't say that. It's very quiet. Are you guys okay? And that's what the Bible says. Okay. Okay. There's only one reason for divorce and that is adultery. Amen. I never said it. Please don't get upset with me. Amen. Jeez. You said this pastor was nice. He's not very nice. Oftentimes, people misinterpret what God is saying. And this is very important. If you are an intercessor or someone who prays a lot, specifically in the spirit a lot, you must understand you are going to hear a lot. You are going to see a lot. Why? Because you are pressing into it. You are pressing into the spirit. So you will naturally begin to see. Now you need to ask God for wisdom and discerning of spirits. And you need to ask Him to show you what does that mean. In this church, I've had to address this several times. When someone gets something from God and God's intention with what you received was for you to pray for that person, not to walk up to them and tell them about the calamity you saw. All you're going to do is put fear in them. Sometimes God will give you a vision or a dream, or He'll show you something for the purpose of fighting for that person, especially if you are someone who prays, if you're an intercessor. So you will see often, and you really need to seek God and ask Him, listen, Lord, what is it you want me to do with this? So you must ask God for the interpretation of the vision and the dream, and then you need to ask for the wisdom. Remember what I said, in that God will always give you peace. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. I always look for peace. One of the things that I don't understand about people, man, I don't understand this. Well, you know, they'll come to me and say to me, oh, you know, Pastor Alex, God told me this and this, and the Lord showed me this in a dream and spoke to me. And then next week, God changed his mind. Now, God can change his mind. Yes, he can. We'll get into that just a little bit later. But normally that comes with some serious changes, with something severe that takes place. But God doesn't tell you something today and something else tomorrow morning. And so that makes me lose a lot of, the person loses tremendous credibility with me in the realm of the prophetic when I hear that. You know, God said this and God told me that and God said that. No, you told you that. God speaks to me, but not all the time. So I need to hear and be sensitive to what he's saying and to what I'm saying. Is that okay? All right. You will often find, specifically in your life, when something happens and God gives you a powerful word about your future, your destiny, your purpose, that word will always be there. The first prophecy I ever got from Pastor Harold is the most meaningful prophecy that I will ever have, because it referred to my destiny and my purpose. There were prophecies that came after that that basically brought more of what God was saying out concerning my destiny. But God never came and said, listen, I've changed my mind about the plans I have for you. And so I want to read you a story real quick. Most of you have heard this story before, but you're going to listen to it again. Amen. Let's go to 1 Kings 13, verse number 1. And this is important. I want you to see this because I want you to see this. Because what happens when someone goes against what God has told them and they're moving in a direction and things are not going according to plan or something's not going so comfortably, all of a sudden they're waiting for another word from God and someone comes and gives you a word that isn't from God and you get destroyed. Or you no longer serve God, or you turn from God, or you give up on your destiny. That is a tragedy. 1 Kings 13, verse number 1. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the way of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice, and priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the sayings of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar saying, arrest him. Then his hand which he stretched out towards him withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself and I will give you a reward. Now pay attention. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way you came. That was the word of the Lord to this prophet. And he listened, he obeyed. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me to eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. Now watch this. And he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink. But he was lying to him. You need to know the fruit of someone who's prophesying over your life. Once God gives you a directive and a direction in which to go, he's not going to just change his mind. And be careful who comes and gives you a word, because that word could cause you calamity. I have young people come into my office, they share what God has given them destiny with. I may not even feel like it's right, but I keep quiet. Why? I will not contradict what God has spoken to them. I cannot. Unless I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. And it'll be so overwhelming that God will not leave me alone, which he has done. But other than that, if someone shares with me their destiny, their purpose, and they know that God has spoken to them, who am I to stand in the ways of God? Amen. So he was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house. Now this story is so shocking to me, because you'll find out that this man really is a prophet. Number one, he lies, which is shocking. Number two, he causes great destruction. Watch. I'm jumping ahead. Let's go. Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord God, your God, commanded you, but you came back, ate bread and drank water in this place, in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him. And the prophet whom he had brought back, when he had gone, a lion met him in the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse, and there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told in the city where the old prophet dwelt. It's very quiet. It's not a joke. It's serious. You must learn. You must step out. You must take a step of faith. You must begin to operate. I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to prophesy. I want you to step out. That's why we have U groups. So you can develop your gift. So you can start to operate. There's a leader in the group who can help you. You can go to him and say, this is what I feel the Lord is saying, and allow him to correct you. But if you are too proud and you do not like the correction, you have no right to prophesy. Even if I go to my pastor's church and he says, Pastor Alex, I want you to preach at my church. It would be a great day. Amen. And he says, I want you to preach here. Okay, thank you so much, Pastor Harold. I'm standing on the platform and the word of the Lord comes to me. And I know that I know that I know. If he gets up and he says, no, that's not from God, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. I cannot. I am still under authority. I submit to that authority. He will be accountable. But when you get all upset, you have disqualified yourself from being able to prophesy because you are too immature and your character is not yet developed. So you must not get upset when you get corrected. That's what we are supposed to do. You want to prophesy in the church, start in a small and safe environment. Begin to develop the gift. Go to your cell leader, go to the intern, go to people who have already been given authority and help them and let them work with you. Your zone leaders, they will help you. Is that okay? Otherwise, how will we know your fruit? Because of what you did somewhere else? How must I know what you did somewhere else besides by what you have told me? And I appreciate and I honor that, but I need to see what you do here. It's not because I want you all to be in home cells. I don't need you to go to a home cell. But if you feel this is your church, that is the place that I can see. And we are working on other things. We are working on other ways to allow people to develop themselves. But this church, that is the main avenue that we raise up leaders. That's the vision of this house. Amen. Amen. If you like this group and that group, this isn't the right church for you. And that's okay. We are not a this group and that group type of church. Amen. And I accept that. I accept that some people, this is not the right fit for them. And that's okay. But this is a cell type church. We believe in the house and the temple courts in the house. House to house. So that we can develop people. So that we can raise them up. It doesn't take long. When someone goes into a home cell, and they're seeking God and they're praying that they will get promoted. It doesn't take long. And then God will give them the opportunity to use their gifts and they'll develop and mature. And believe me, you'll be given all the authority to go and do what you need to do. But I have to see some fruit first. Because I have to protect the people in this house. And I will not allow this house to become defiled. Because in the Bible, there's a story about one of the seven churches where Jesus says, that you have allowed that woman Jezebel. And that's why many are sick. So I will not allow it. Okay? It's not because I want to stop you. I want to promote you. But I have to wait for God. Amen? Amen. Now let me tell you something. This story is so close to home for me. Because before I planted this church, the Lord came and spoke to me so clearly. I mean so clearly about planting this church. I mean like afterwards, I knew it was from God, and the unrest I had was to stay where I was. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I was suffering because I knew I had to leave and I knew I had to go and plant this church. And I'll never forget, everyone was fine, everything was great. And about a month before I left, there was a little meeting called, and I was called to this meeting, and Matthew was in the meeting. So he's my witness, this happened. And everybody in the room was telling me how God spoke to them and told them that I wasn't supposed to come and plant this church. And I remembered this story. And I said to them, listen, the Lord has spoken to me. He has given me a clear directive, and I cannot, even though I respect you and honor you, I cannot receive this word from you, because the first word that came to me was so from God, and I knew it was the Lord, and I cannot turn from that. Now you must understand, listen to me, does that discredit the person who said that to me? No, it doesn't, because the test is not his, the test is mine. I'm going to say that again. The test was mine. The test is yours. He's going to test you. He's going to see what's in your heart. He's going to make sure you're ready for what He has for you to step into. Amen. Okay. I know this is different. I know. Amen. I'm almost done. Now, I want to give you three keys to personal prophecy that are so important. One thing you need to understand is that all personal prophecies are only in part. In other words, God will not give you the entire picture. He gives it to you in part. Is that okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. So don't think that God's given you the entire picture. He's given you a part so that you can have a taste of what He has for you. Amen? What will also happen is God will tell you so often about your awesome destiny. And He'll give you all the good things, and He'll give you all the awesome things, and He'll show you this incredible picture of what He has for you. And He won't tell you about all the bad things that are going to happen on the way. He did it with Joseph. He told Joseph that he would be the prime minister. He didn't tell him about the pit of betrayal. He didn't tell him he'd be sold into slavery. He didn't tell him all those things. And while Joseph was going through this, he was thinking, but Lord, you said that they would bow down before me. You said that they would serve me. You said these things. I told them that's all I did, and look what they did to me. So sometimes God does not show you the whole picture. So when all of a sudden things don't go exactly according to plan, don't think that God's plan has changed for you, because it hasn't. Okay. So you need to know that prophecy is normally in part. Amen. When God releases a word to you, He will give you the faith, the measure of faith that requires you to get there. So here's the good news. Regardless of how tough it is right now, you are going to get there. Amen. You have the faith to persevere. You have the faith to make it. You have the faith to get through. Is that okay? You can do it. Amen. Amen. The other thing when it comes to prophecy is that very often prophecy comes to you and it's progressive. So, for example, God will give you a piece of the puzzle now, and many years down the line, He'll reveal something else to you. For example, God might say to you in the beginning, listen, you are going to be an evangelist. And now you think, oh, is that what I'm going to be in? But what about this? And I don't know about this. And I'm feeling this. And I don't know. And then 5 years later, He will add to that. And He'll reveal more of your purpose to you. But it will never contradict the first word. Especially when it comes to the offices that God has. God can call you to step into 3 or 4 offices, all the offices, 1 office, 2 offices, whatever He wants. Amen. And it's progressive. He's not going to tell you when you're 17 years old everything about your destiny. You're not ready to handle it. Sorry. 17 year old. But more than likely, you are not ready to handle everything He has for you. So He will progressively give it to you. Sometimes when I stand in front of someone and I'm about to get a word, and I know this is from God now because I know the person is giving it to me, I know the fruit in their life, I know I'm about to hear from Lord, I'm a little bit scared. Because when He reveals it to you, you're not the only one who hears it. Satan also hears. Now God's already given you the faith that you need to overcome everything the enemy will throw at you. But you must understand that He's not going to want you to step into that. He's not going to want you to believe it. He's not going to want you to pursue it. He's going to want you to rather just be afraid. Okay? Amen. Is this okay? Are you learning something? Okay. When David was anointed as king, listen, anointed. Samuel comes to him, anoints him as king of Israel. The next day, he went back to being a shepherd boy. And listen, David had to go through some serious stuff. Rejection. He had to be kicked out of the palace. He had to have gone hide in a cave. He had to pretend he was all sick. I mean, this guy had to really do some serious stuff before he became the king. Understand that that when you have great destiny and God gives you a purposeful word that's really going to, you know, something awesome, and He's given you this word, and you know, don't think that tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and be there. I did that. But I waited till after Bible school. I got my word. I was ready. And I thought, okay, no, I'm still in Bible school. I'll wait. After Bible school, I went straight to Pastor Harold. I said, Pastor Harold, I am ready, sir. I've had all these prophecies, and you know, I'm ready. And he said, son, go get a job. And I looked at him and I was so puzzled. I thought, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm anointed and I'm ready. You've prophesied that as surely as you live, you will go into the ministry, and that's what the direction of your life is. And you're telling me to get a job. I wasn't ready. I had to learn some things. I had to fall flat on my face. I had to learn. I had to grow. I had to get rock bottom, because there was too much of me left in me. Amen. I'm too nice to you young people. I should be harder on you. Especially you, Mike. I've become way too soft with you. No more. Now, here's the part most of us don't like. All personal prophecy is conditional. All personal prophecy is conditional. Let's quickly go to Jonah 1, verse number 2. Jonah gets a word from the Lord. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We all know the story. Jonah runs from God. Let's go to Jonah 3, verse number 2. When he finally comes to his senses, this is what God says to him. Arise in Jonah 3, verse number 2. Jonah 3, verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's week. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now here arrives Jonah. I mean, this is like the great prophet of the day. He rocks up in the city. He gives the word of the Lord. In 40 days, you will all be dead. And Jonah's excited. He's just called, they're going to die. He didn't like the Ninevites. Amen. Jonah 3, verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And in verse number 10, it says this, Jonah 3, verse number 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented. What does that mean? It means God changed his mind. From the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. And Jonah went into mourning. And went and hid. And went into the desert and hid under a little tree. And God killed the tree. Because he was so upset. Because now they thought he was a false prophet. But he wasn't a false prophet. Listen, what you do will affect your destiny. Your attitude, your response to God will affect your destiny. Don't think for one minute that God cannot change his mind. He can change his mind. But listen, here's the good news. The good news is that it's not too late. Your prophecy, listen to me. Your prophecy that you have does not have to come to pass in your lifetime. How can I say that? Look at the children of Israel. You will go into the promised land. But their attitude, because when they went into the promised land and had a look at what it looked like, the report that came back was, oh, these giants. And they were so afraid and so affected by their circumstances that they could not see the promised land. Therefore, they did not enter into it. Except for the young man that said, we can do this. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. We can beat those giants. We can do this thing. Your attitude affects whether you will step into your destiny. So many times people miss it. And in the case of the Israeli people, the promise was passed on to the next generation. So it can be in your lifetime. If you do not stop going around the mountain. Yeah. going around and around and around and around. The same thing. God will make you face the same challenge over and over and over because He's trying to change you, to get you ready to step into destiny. The trip from Egypt to the promised land was a short trip, but it took them so many years because they went around and around and around. And so it is in our own lives that we don't step into our promise because we're not ready, because of our attitudes, because of our stinking thinking. But God wants you to take a hold of the promises He has for you. There are people sitting here that God has given. I've seen it. I've seen some of you guys. I've seen many of you. I've seen your destiny. The first time you walked in the church, I called you out because God had a word for you. I've seen the promises of God for you, but you keep going around and around the mountain. I've done it. I'm still doing it in certain things in my life. I will not move to that next place, to the next place, until I get a hold of this thing that I need to deal with. If I was you, don't just let anyone come up to you randomly in the church and say to you, I have a word from you. With all due respect to every one of you, I love you. Wait for a leader, someone or someone that you trust or know has fruit in their life. If you know the person and you know their fruit, different story. Because many of you know each other, and so you know the fruit in their life, and that's absolutely perfect. You can receive from them because you know them. Amen. But don't just receive from anyone. In this church, in somebody else's church, out at a conference, wherever it is, make sure you know where you're going before you receive a word. That word has the potential to affect your life in so many ways, positively or negatively. I will never forget, I was so afraid to prophesy. And I went to a meeting, to a cell meeting. And there was this very prophetic lady there. I didn't know her, but the people I went with knew her very well, and they knew her fruit, and she was really, you know. And this woman, it's the two things, deliverance, the same thing happened to me, and with prophecy, the same thing happened to me. And I'm standing in this room, and this lady is very prophetic, and she's giving words, da-da-da-da, whatever. I felt a little weird, to be honest with you, but anyway, I was there. And the next thing she says to me, now, young man, I want you to prophesy. And I looked at her, and I said, no. So I started prophesying, and I prophesied over her. I had to step out. They gave me the grace. They gave me the opportunity. And so even in our groups, in our U groups, in our church, we want to develop you. We want you to step into your gift. We want you to mature. We want you to develop yourself. Out in the field, you must step out. You will never know until you try. How do I know? Well, you've got to try. And listen, you may make mistakes, but you will find out if you're hearing from God short very quickly. And when you find out that you're not, don't give up. Now go and pray some more so you can begin to hear His voice properly. There's no shortcuts. Sorry. You can go to as many conferences you want and get hands laid on you by everybody. There's no shortcuts. For you to hear from God for yourself requires you to consecrate yourself. Amen. And develop your relationship with Him so that you can hear from Him yourself. Why? Because my sheep know my voice. If you're one of His sheep, you know His voice. Why? Because you spend time with the shepherd. Have you seen that video on Facebook of the there's a whole herd of sheep in the field, and that you see these guys calling the sheep, and the sheep pay absolutely no attention to them. And the shepherd comes running, and he stands at the gate, the same place the others are, and he calls, and all the sheep come running towards him. It's so powerful. Why? Because they know His voice. Because they've spent time with Him. They know Him. Amen. I know this was a little different this evening. I'm not actually even finished, but it's getting late, and I think I'm going to stop there. Amen. As we go on, I'll speak to you more about the prophetic. And I'm open, if you want to come and discuss this with me and discuss things that have happened to you and stuff, please come and talk to me. I really do care about you guys. And I want us to step forward into this. I want us to become everything God has destined us to be. There are people sitting here. I know the destiny you have. I've seen the destiny you have. I've seen the greatness inside you. I know it, and I'm excited for you. Amen. Are you guys okay? Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you that we are learning, Father, and we're going on this journey with you. And Father, we are so excited and desire to operate in the gifts. Your word says that we should desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit and to operate in the gifts and to hear the gifts. And Father, you've given us guidelines when it comes to stepping out, edification, exhortation, comfort, and many other examples like that, Father. And I know you want us to step out. But in the same breath, you also want us to protect ourselves and always judge the Spirit, not the person, the Spirit operating. And even in the story that we saw with the young prophet, Father, where he made that mistake because he didn't listen to the word that you had given him. And that other prophet did so many things, but at the end of the day, the test was the young prophets. And so it is in our own lives that the test is always ours. Even when someone does something that is wrong against us, the test is ours. And so I pray that you will give us strength, you will give us wisdom, you will help us moving forward to fulfill destiny and purpose. And Father, I pray this evening that everyone in this place and anyone in this place that has given up on their destiny and the purpose, the plan that you've given them, Father, that they will no longer feel that way. But tonight they will be encouraged and strengthened and know that that word is there for them. And if they repent and desire once again to seek after you concerning their destiny and purpose, it belongs to them. You will not just remove it from them. You don't do that. And I thank you for that. I thank you that we, Lord, are moving forward and we love you and we praise you and we worship you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit be with every single one of these precious people tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.